I'm not going to do like I did the last time. The last time I spoke, I forgot to say thank you for the opportunity. I didn't realize that until I was listening to the tape later. Tonight, I'm going to say I thank you for that opportunity, and I thank you for this one. I'm always glad when I have an opportunity to present a lesson from the Word of God. It's something that I have enjoyed doing for a long time, and I am happy to have that opportunity at this hour. So, we want to study from the Word of God. God's Word is the final Word. It's the Word that we must go to in order to find out how to conduct ourselves acceptably in the sight of our God. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject of hope. I know we've heard lessons on it recently, but tonight I want to talk about the perils of a false hope. There is a hope that is genuine and sincere and true and faithful. But there are many people who hope for something that is based upon a shaky foundation. And that kind of hope will not survive. It will not bring about that which one might desire. It's not uncommon at all for people to put their trust in men, hoping to receive some benefit by following the advice of man. However, all too often, their hope does not come to fruition. And the reason it doesn't is because it is based on faulty information rather than on that which is true, the inspired Word of God. Hope is a great need that we have in the world today. Some think that they need an abundance of material wealth. Some need something else more, they think, than they do of genuine, sincere, true hope in God. As great as these things might be, to some there is nothing needed more than genuine hope. I can't think of any greater need than a person has than to have in mind a desire and an expectation to be in heaven with God someday. That is a great thing to look forward to. This hope that we're talking about is a false hope, is on a shaky foundation, and some perils are sure to follow. And we want to talk about some in the course of our study tonight. The person who has hope that is based on what the Bible says, it will have other needs answered as well, and will be able to face those things that try men's souls and weather the storms. I want to talk first of all about what is hope. But let's look at just briefly what hope is not. The idea of people planning a picnic, for example, and say, I sure hope it doesn't rain today. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. Nor am I talking about the kind of hope that a person has that goes into a city, new there, looking for a job. And he said, I sure hope I find a job. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the biblical concept of hope. To understand that, so we will know whether or not the hope that we have is genuine or whether or not it is false hope with its perils. The biblical concept of hope, as I said earlier, is both desire and expectation. Hope comes when we're justified by faith, have peace with God, glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience, patience works experience, and experience works hope. As Tim read from Romans 5, we'll look at it in a moment. We do not have in our possession what we hope for. The things that we hope for are yet in the future or in some other place than where we are. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's something else. That's not hope. Some lessons that apply include the lesson that we can get from Romans 5, and we want to look at that. For example, if someone asks you the question, are you going to heaven? And you say, I sure hope so. Now let me ask you another question. Suppose that this happens and you're not quite sure. But are you answering, I hope so, the question of whether or not you're going to heaven, with great assurance? Or is there a little bit of doubt in your mind when you answer in that fashion? The next question is, how can we be sure? Well, we can be sure if we follow this book. And now I want to read Romans 5, verses 1 through 5 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. I want you to notice this. He says we rejoice in the hope. That's a good side. But we also rejoice in tribulation. We would look at that as not quite so good, wouldn't we? But we joy in tribulations when we have the kind of hope that takes us in connection with God. Hope is the end of this. There's tribulations that work glory, knowing the tribulation work of patience. Patience works experience, and experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. It doesn't disappoint you. It delivers. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Another passage of Scripture that helps us to be sure that our hope is genuine is 1 John, the second chapter, verses 3 through 5. And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. If we know that we are in Him, we can have assurance of our hope. Paul affirmed, I know who I have believed. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He also said in 2 Timothy, the same chapter, in chapter 4 and in verses 6 through 8, he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not unto me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing. He was sure of his hope. He knew wherein it stood, and therefore he could affirm, I know whom I have believed. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says that we are begotten again into a lively or a living, a hope that is active and is sure. But why is hope such a great need? It is through hope, through faith and comfort of the Scriptures that we get hope. Romans 15 verse 4 tells us, this shows that the only hope that is worthwhile is that which is based upon the Word of God. Hope that is based on anything else is only wishing for what we want and think we'll receive it. We're instructed in the Bible to be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh us a reason for the hope that is in us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Hope is inseparably linked with faith and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Without faith and love, there could be no hope. Faith is defined as the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And faith is the basis of hope, and faith has the Word of God as a foundation. Paul said, I preach to you the way that I did, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. If you could imagine in your mind a diagram with hope up at the top, but we ask ourselves, what supports that hope? And under it, you draw another triangle or rectangle, probably, and put the word faith. Faith supports hope. But something has to support the faith. What is it? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. So the Word of God is the foundation of our hope and our faith as well. That for which we ultimately hope is eternal life. Paul writes to Titus and says, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. The Christian looks to that which is not seen, not that which he sees, because hope is something we desire to achieve someday. In the fourth chapter of the second Corinthian letter, and beginning at verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Are you hoping just for something that's temporal, going to last only a little while, or something that is eternal? Hope is fixed on that which is eternal. We look for the Lord Jesus to come and change this body that we're in now and give us a different spiritual body. In Philippians, the third chapter, verses 20 and 21, the hope that we have is based on Christ being in us. Paul wrote that in Christ we have that hope of glory. In Christ, Colossians 1:27, Christ is our hope. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, if our hope wavers, and it does, when we fail to walk by faith because of the closeness that exists between our faith and our hope. Each one should ask himself constantly, is Christ living in me? Paul said he was living in him. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Part of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We're looking forward to that blessed hope, that, as Paul calls it in the letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, which says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. It is a blessed hope, one that we should desire greatly. What's the relationship of hope and salvation? Romans 8:24 says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Hope is the anchor of the soul. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter and verse 19, if you've ever been in a boat out on the Gulf or the ocean and not be able to anchor your boat when a storm comes up, you're in trouble. I know. I've been there. But this hope is an anchor that is sure. It is steadfast. It will keep you from drifting with the streams of time and with the crowd that's headed in the wrong direction in the first place. Christians are begotten again to a lively hope and look forward to an inheritance, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Being begotten again to a lively hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, who are kept by the power of God through faith. God's power works in us, giving us this hope when we have faith in Him that trusts Him and does what He says. But let's look at some of these perils. There are perils to the hope that the Christian has. Identifying these perils, we would say, first of all, that the hope that is based on false information, false doctrine, that's hope that has perils. One may be given to information that in the stock of a certain company is going to increase immediately. Buy a lot of it. So that's what he does. But what happens? The market crashes, and he loses it all. That's not the hope that you want. One may be given information that a disease or perhaps an injury that he has received, it really is not going to amount to anything. That's what he's told. So he builds up a lot of hope that he's going to be around for a long time. But what happens? The doctor's wrong. And he doesn't make it. That's a false hope. One may hope that God will accept his worship, but it's based on false doctrine or emotionalism or a combination of the two. That's not true hope. That's false hope, and it has its perils. It makes you feel good to worship God, even though the worship may be contrary to what the Word of God teaches. One may hope to have eternal life, but it's based on his sincere belief that salvation is by faith only, or all you have to do in order to be assured of eternal salvation is just accept Christ as your personal Savior. That's not Bible doctrine. That's not what will support true hope. Only the Word of God will do that. Some rely on their feelings as assurance that they are saved, but the Bible shows that feelings are not reliable. Paul lived in all good conscience toward God, we said, during the time that he was persecuting the saints, persecuting Christ. But he lived in all good conscience. during that time. That's what he said. Luke records it in Acts 23 and verse 1, and also in chapter 26 and verse 9. Basing our hope, rather, on anything other than the Word of God is like building on the sand. When the storms come, the building falls. How can we be sure this hope that we have is genuine? Make sure your hope is built on Jesus Christ, and because you are a Christian, you look forward to the hereafter with Him, with the Father, with all of the hosts that will be in heaven. It is the hope that we have when the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, as Paul speaks of in the Ephesian letter, chapter 1 and verse 18. But we must continue in our faith. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you here in the Colossian letter, chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, notice it's a continuing thing, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's how you can be assured that your hope is genuine and that you will realize that hope one day. Those who hope in Christ in things that pertain to this life are of all men most miserable or pitiable, says the Apostle Paul in the 1 Corinthian letter, chapter 15 and verse 19. Abraham understood the relationship between faith and hope. For in faith, or in hope, he believed, in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Part of the promise that God made to Abraham was that in thee and thy seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed. He didn't have any children at that time, but he had hope and he had faith, and they went together. The faith that he had that God would do exactly what he said he would do gave him hope of becoming the father of many nations. Those who have the hope of being in Christ and seeing him as he is will purify themselves. Listen to what John writes about it in 1 John the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious thought. But listen to the next one. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So I ask you tonight, are you living a pure life? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ whereby you receive forgiveness of all of your past sins? And are you adding to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and love, and living a soberly and righteously and godly life each day? If that's the way you're living, you have genuine hope. And there are no perils with genuine hope. That's only to the hope that's based on something other than the Word of the living God. If you are not enjoying that hope, We plead with you to obey the gospel of Christ, if that is your need, in order that you might have all of your past sins forgiven. The Lord promises to do that to those who obey His commandments. And if you have done that and have fallen away, why not come back to the Lord? He will forgive you if you repent. Confess your wrongs wherever the need is, to Him only, or to some fellow person, man, that you have sinned against. Make it right with God, and you'll have this hope. And bypass all of these perils that come to those whose hope is built on something other than God's Word. If we can assist you in any way, we want you to come and we want to help you. While together we stand and while